Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 207, part one, These Eyes. Today is Friday, August 12th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. We're located in the historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you haven't joined Pastor Paul's club and you need food, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 and older, or you are disabled with proof, you can come in Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. You'll need to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. We have lots of food, so if you need food anywhere in Minnesota, we have no boundaries. You come to Pastor Paul's Club. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. And I just want to give a special shout-out and a thank you to the Sean Feinstein Foundation, who has helped Pastor Paul's for a number of years, 10, 15, lots of years, help donate to Pastor Paul's with his Feinstein match that occurs every April. And he's helped hunger partners throughout the U.S. for many years. A special thank you to you. We appreciate your support, who supported us before it became popular to support hunger issues. Thank you, Sean Feinstein Foundation in Rhode Island. Another special thank you to all you youth groups with YouthWorks who have come in this summer, who me and Pastor Paul have been able to work with. It's been great. What an encouragement you have been to Pastor Paul's Club. The work you've done is fantastic, and we're definitely going to be connecting on Facebook and at Pastor Paul's website. So we'll look for your pictures. I've got more than 300-400 pictures of you guys. And we'll see you on Flickr. Now, for Pastor Paul's podcast, this is the month of August, the hot month. Are we ready? Yes. Here are the messages. Peace, these eyes, harvest time, hunger and thirst. So be sure to tune in to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Don't miss an episode. God bless you and have a great month of August.
Tonight's message is entitled, Them Eyes. Tonight, let's look in on Proverbs 4 and 25, and it goes like this. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now, in reading Proverbs 4, we see words of wisdom, and we are exhorted to take care of all the parts of our nature. You'll find in the Bible a lot of times they'll use the body, your physical body, and to indicate the members of the church or whatever, the members of our spiritual body. So it goes on and says, keep thy heart, says he, with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Have you caught yourself this week issuing something out of your heart that didn't give life? Maybe I should ask, where is your heart? You listening on the radio to this tape. You're in here. Where is your heart tonight? Is it divided? What issues forth from your heart tonight? Something we have to consider all the time, isn't it? Is it issuing forth? No, it says, out of the fullness of your heart, we speak. Well, whenever our heart gets full, what's it full of? That's exactly what you're going to speak. You get anger in your heart, you get rebellion in your heart, you get frustrated with people. Then out of that heart that's troubled comes troubled speech. I had someone in here this week that troubled me because they really didn't have a feel for the poor, and they're in Feeding the Poor. They came in asking a lot of questions. And in my heart, I had this thing, none of your business. I had that in my heart. No, I went to speak, and I was divided in my heart, and I couldn't even get it out right. I mean, I was trying to be nice, but it wasn't in me. Was not in me. So I found myself saying, well, what makes you think that bread isn't important to people? I said, hey, I've got my whole heart in this thing. I love what I'm doing. And then I caught myself and I said, now that came out of a heart that wasn't right. You understand what I'm saying? Well, the Bible says, and there's always a way where there seemeth to be no way. God makes a way. And he says, it's okay to be angry, but don't go to sleep on your anger. And so even though this person didn't know that I had skillfully got out some kind of human wrath, let's say, they weren't aware of it because I covered it over so nicely. But yet, I was stuck with that, so I had to pray about it. And all week it's been something like that. Oh, you get letters, you get phone calls, you get this, you get... And your heart gets full. Now, I'm a person that doesn't have, really, too much of a divided heart. When it comes to my things that I love, well, I'm not divided in that. And I have a one mind towards that, so... If I see someone else that doesn't have that same mind and that same purpose that I'm involved with, then I sort of get all uptight in my heart and it comes out. And it doesn't come out right. And so it says, listen to it real careful, keep thy heart. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing this? Is there a mouse on the floor down there or what's going on? Keep thy heart. Heart with all what? Diligence. Now, when you do something diligently, that means you put your whole heart into it. For out of it are the issues of life. Now, if I'm not honest with myself, I can't be honest with someone else, and I'm not going to have any kind of peace like I was preaching about on Sunday. No peace. Oh, God, that's terrible not to have peace. And so I ask that, where is your heart tonight? Is it divided? Is it between two things? That's why it's so hard when we're divided in what we're doing. That's like working two jobs. I remember working a job and working my business. And I was divided in it. And so I was no good at this job anymore because my division had got over to the other side. Are you hearing this message tonight? Or are you listening? Are you divided right now and you're not really hearing what I'm saying? Are you involved in something else? Don't be divided. My God, listen. Listen with a whole heart and then you'll feel right about yourself. Don't try to get your checkbook right in the middle of a message. Don't. Now, there's someone doing that. Somewhere out there. I don't know. I'm speaking to the radio. Don't add up all your bills. Don't do anything. Have a whole heart and a whole mind, and let's listen to what's going to happen here. Let thine eyes look right on. Don't they say that in a row? Right on. You got that right. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Then it goes on, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. That means think on the path of your feet. Which road are you on? Which path are you following? You got one foot on one path and one on the other. I remember one time when I was probably about your age, maybe a little bit older, and I was doing my hair in one of these pompadour sweeps, don't you know? And I had two girlfriends. And boy, I was divided. Well, gee, I wanted to play kissy face with one and kissy face with the other. I couldn't make my mind up. So I really had to ponder the path of my feet. You know why? Because I might got caught. And let all thy ways be established. How do you get established in your ways? By pondering the path of thy feet, the Bible says. Think about where them tootsies is taking you. Yeah. Turn not, it says, to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And so we see every part of our nature needs watching. Every part of it. You got to watch your feet where they take you. You got to watch your hands, what they might get into. What have your hands been into? You got to watch where you take your eyes. Each part can get the rest of the body in trouble. Same way in the church, isn't it? Isn't it? So that what we take in won't darken our souls. No. Sometimes there has to be separations. A fellow called me last week and he said, well, now, we ought to get together in fellowship. I said, no, we can be friends and everything, but I don't think we have that much in common. Really, I says, I don't think we got that much in common, and I don't want to get into this thing again. This is my fourth or fifth time with this fellow, don't you see? And I said, no, I have to ponder my steps because I can't be running back and wasting time four or five times. See, I've got my heart set on what I'm doing, don't you see? And for me to go back and to have fellowship back there and things that never worked out and never will work out, hey, how foolish. God says, ponder that, think on that. And when you think on that and I give you direction, then I'll establish your ways. And sometimes we get all melancholy because we don't see this person or that person. Well, what's that got to do with what God has got you to do? Say amen, somebody. Oh, hey, it's the truth. You out there in the church right now, you out there in the body of Christ, and you out there in missionaries, Listen real close. Not everybody is going to be with you. That's why they only send, like, from a church, maybe two people for the whole continent of Africa. Maybe there's someone calling over here. Yoo-hoo! Or China. Or East Germany. Or wherever. God wants to establish your ways. But also, you got to look at this. We need to see things in the eyes of Christ. See no man after the flesh. Do you suppose that guardian angels all get together? No, you might have a couple guardian angels, each person. But they're busy with that one body. They're not all congregated around one fellowshipping of one great big colossal group. No, that's not where it's at. They are busy doing what God sent them to do with one body, one plan, one purpose, no division. They're not into this. Let's have a party. Ooh, let's have a party. They have their own party to look after. How many hearing this? Come on now. But also, its outgoing needs watching too. So that our glances of our eye won't be full of sin or suggest to us foolish thoughts. That's why the Bible says, don't go by sight. Don't go by what you see. And so the proverb says, let thine eye look straight on, right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And so it's saying, use your eyes wisely. You listening on the radio, maybe you're trying to catch it because you're rebellious to your mother or something, and you've been out, you know, hoop-de-dooing the night before. So you're just catching little pieces of this. Well, I'll talk good and loud so you can hear the whole thing. Stuff cotton balls in your ears if you want it, you're going to hear it. Where were your eyes last night? You got to be careful where you take your eyes. Isn't there a song like that? These eyes, deep, 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 like they never have before. Something like that. Yet, studying this and getting ready for this message, going through a whole lot the past few weeks, these last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks, I find and I observe that a lot of people use their eyes as if they were sleepwalkers. They go through the world sort of gazing about, seeing nothing. Men, it says, look like trees a-walking. They have what I call dumb eyes. You ever seen somebody with dumb eyes? What are dumb eyes? Dumb eyes are eyes that are open, but Jesus says, you have eyes, do you really see with them? What are you doing with them? What are you doing with a pair of dumb eyes like that? Or maybe the shadows draw their attention somewhat, and they have never been awakened, I believe, a lot of them, to the very true light and to its very solemn realities. There's a lot of realities that we just skip over. Now, I am a realist. I think to be realistic, you have to be through a few things. Then you get realistic. Huh? If you haven't been through anything, you never get realistic. You live in sort of a fantasy world. They never see anything of the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help them God, because they don't seek God. They see and they go, let's say, by seeing. And so they have no faith. They got to see everything. Today I was coming, and I'll just share this. I don't always share things. But I think it's important I share it at this time. Now I was coming over here to Minneapolis. Now I was driving and I sort of pondering and I was asking the Lord, when will there be a breakthrough? So I started praying in tongues and I had tongues and I had tongues interpretation. And I'm not saying this is a way for everybody to. This is not a format and this is not a formula. This just happened to me this morning. God says, I'm getting ready to bless the mission in a way that you never thought. Abundantly and above all that you could ever hope or think to ask for. So I got in here today. All kinds of fruits and all kinds of vegetables came in. Next week on Tuesday, there is another truckload. Now, potatoes should be done for the year. We shouldn't have any potatoes till late in the fall. But this guy calls up. He says, did you know them potatoes that you got the prior to this, a couple weeks ago? I have another load for you. Another 42 to 47,000 pounds of potatoes. And then a person called me up and they said, say, we'd like to have you come over and spend about 20 minutes during our lunch period. Talk to us about your mission and its needs. Now, there's three things already. Now, I'm not giving you a formula. I'm just saying you can't go by sight. I think a lot of times we need to startle people out of their slumber. Have you noticed how many people in your jobs are just sort of like they're slumbering? They're just walking around in sort of a slumber and they miss things. They miss doing this on the job and they miss doing that on the job. And they, or a ball player's out there and say, hey, are you sleeping or what? Misses the catch, standing out there like this. The ball drops in between his feet. Say, hey, what's wrong with you? Are you sleeping out there? What's wrong with you? And it's the same way a lot of times in the body of Christ. And I have to exhort. We'll have people listening on the radio. It's the same way in the body of Christ, isn't it? We sleep and we slumber and we walk around and we have dumb eyes and we don't see the needs of people. We don't care about the needs of people. We say, in fact, oh, I could care less. You ever say that? I have. Oh, God, I could care less. How many hearing this? Are you hearing this on the radio? And so we see a lot of dreamers and a lot of dreaming people fantasizing. Well, they say we see but have scales. They have these sort of like scales on their eyes where they really can't see really good. They come to church. They go to their accustomed seat. They fall into their accustomed seat with a heavy sigh and they just sort of, are you listening to this on the radio? And they just sort of sigh and plop it in there and they endure. Oh, come on. All right, I'm ready. I'll take my medicine like a man. And the endure. Well, I've been enduring church now, they said, for 40 years. I've been sitting in that seat, and I've been enduring for 40 years. There ought to be some kind of a prize for enduring. A lot of people go to work like that, don't they? And they go there and they endure the other people and they put up with them and they put up with a boss and they get their check because why? They endured. I made it. Thank God it's Friday. They even have that on mugs now and they hang them up in these beer joints and they hang them up in their coffee cups in their special places, you know, and at home. Thank God it's Friday. And they live their whole week looking towards Friday. You And so they endure. They need to be stirred from their sluggard's slumber. Don't ask me to say that again. They sing the same tunes over and over automatically. Automatically. Or they stand and they chant their creed. They sit down, they've done their bit, they endured, and blah, 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 blah. And they sit down. Mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo. Mumbo, you could say anything. You could say anything to the sleeping church. I said it, I don't know when I said it. I say so much, I don't know when I said it, where I said it. But you could say something like, and then my head fell off in the middle of a message. And the amen people say, amen, brother. Hallelujah, praise God. Didn't hear you. Did not hear you. And both my arms fell off. Praise God, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They didn't hear it. Every member of your body could fall off and they'd still be saying amen. Amen. I could raise my voice or lower my voice and they know when to say amen. And furthermore, and the guy say, amen. But they stare straight ahead for a whole hour. I mean, it's torture for them. They stare. Oh, God. You ever been in these high steeple, few people sit down your rump, never do nothing in churches? Come on now. You listening? You go to such a church? Get out. Get out. You're not doing any good. They're not doing you any good. Oh, have at it, right? And so they endure, and they stare straight ahead for a whole hour. They get up, and they mechanically walk out. They point themselves, aim themselves towards their car. Shake hands with a preacher. Walk out the door. Huh? Go home. Put the football game on. And they call that a good family man. You couldn't get through to them if you wanted to. They're wrapped up in this pro football or baseball or whatever. During them seasons, their family, they might as well move out. The whole family could take a vacation. They wouldn't even know it. The most exercise they get is reaching over and getting a Frito-Lay potato chip. May you fall out and bust both of your arms. Just for starters, to wake you up. Oh yeah, there's people that are awake mentally. They're mentally awake. They can function. If a fly comes, they hit it. Huh? Mentally, they're awake. They're functioning. Someone says hi, they say hi back to you. Someone says thank you, they say thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you, thank you. They spend their whole life saying thank you. They don't even know why they're saying it. Isn't that a shallow existence? Oh, God. And so they're awake mentally. But they do not look right on, neither do their eyelids look straight before them. They are somewhat observant. If someone got run over, they'd say, woo, hope that person was saved. Somewhat observant. Somewhat, but not really observant at all. That's why they have trouble in lineups. People really don't look at each other. Did you know that? No, they don't. You could ask a lot of people, what color are your dad's eyes? Are they blue or brown or green? Oh, God, I don't know. I never really noticed. Now I got a lot of people trying to figure out what color their dad's eyes are. How many are hearing this message? but they're somewhat observant going on. But they wonder what they will see next. And so they travel in sort of a big circle, which leads to nothing, sort of a California, here I come, right back where I started from. And they toil and they slave, but it's all sort of like in a shallow, shadow land. The figures around them at work are shadows. They're not really people. They could care less. I could care less. They are so involved, and they're so involved with their own miserable existence that now they live in sort of a shadow land, and they really don't see the beauty in things. They miss it. They are so wrapped up in themselves. Not to get out of yourself is something else. How do you get out of yourself? You dedicate yourself to the cause of Christ, and that's the only way you get out of yourself. If there's any other plan or any other purpose and you're in yourself, you're going to be divided. You're going to be divided in the people you know. You're going to be divided. You're going to be divided all the way through your whole system, your whole body, your whole mind. Everything in you is divided. You cannot be loyal. Cannot be loyal. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? Can't be loyal, won't be loyal, because you're loyal to the wrong God, self. Isn't that right? That's why teenagers, and I was one once upon a time, long many years ago. We sort of, it's just the way it is, walk into that, not all, but some. A lot of us walk into a self-centered, self-seeking, self-we think sufficient attitude. And some of us never grow up. Never. We're just that same teenager, so everybody around us is sort of a shadow. Everybody around us is non-existent because we're so wrapped up in me. Wow. Wow, 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 we, huh? Well, I'll tell you about myself. I don't want nothing to do with myself. I want to put my eyes straight ahead. Hey, you want to get miserable? Get wrapped up in yourself. You can't satisfy your flesh. No, you young guys, you can't satisfy your flesh. You got two girlfriends, you want three. It's called playing the field. Women's Lib has made it real easy for guys to play the field. We're liberated! Now we can be, as sadistic as the men. And so these people do no substantial work. They just don't work out wherever they go. You have somebody, I seen a guy who was working in the produce. And this guy is right on top of it. Boy, he's putting these apples up there and he looks at them. Oh, this is a beautiful, isn't this a beautiful apple? And he pulled it out and says, look at that. Ooh, man, that's a nice one. Look at this one. Ooh. Here comes another guy, he's doing this thing. He's juggling these apples, huh? Juggle them. Throws one in here, throws one in there. He's not into what he's doing. He's divided, don't you see? And so they accomplish nothing. How many times in your job have you seen that? And how many times in the church have you seen that where people just accomplish nothing? Their life is made up of an active idleness. That's a good one, isn't it? God, thank you, Lord. Active idleness. Now, there's a lot of people I know that are very active in idleness. I mean, they are active in it. They can sit so active. I've never seen people sit so actively in all of my life. They love it. Don't even use that word. Well, everything, a lot of times I minister and say, oh, but that's so negative, Pastor Paul. This is positive. Active idleness. Argue with that one. I mean a sort of, now here's another good one, diligent laziness. Is that positive for you sluggards that are listening at a quarter to two? Positive. Huh? No, a positive talk here now. Diligent laziness. They're diligent in it. And then we have those that are getting away from work all day long. Never seen that? They got to go here, they got to go there, they got to go here, they got to go there. Why? They're trying to get away from work. They're bummed out. Woo! And so they have no purpose worth being the aim of their immortal soul. And isn't that sad? The Bible says many of them are like dumb driven cattle, going they know not where. Janine was talking to someone down there from Scientology. Was that young man from Scientology that you led to the Lord? But they know not where. Maybe you're a Mooney and you're listening to me. Or a Jehovah Witness, or from the school of Scientology. Or maybe you're into computer dating. Where'd you meet your wife? Well, on the computer bank. On the bunny, bunny banks of the computer. Huh? Wow. Or maybe you're into World Council of Churches. Going to all these organizations that never offer Jesus Christ to save them. Or maybe you're in one of these churches where they read just enough of the Word and they get you all hungering and thirsting after more, and then they play this great big $900,000 organ and scare you right out of your seats. How'd you like to be going to the water hall and have one of them great big old organs scare you right away from the water trough? And so they have never discovered Jesus Christ. Never. Now, I went to church for years, never discovered Jesus Christ. Well, they read the Bible, but they never gave you the author and finisher of your faith, a Bible. Oh, what a sad thing that is. I remember myself ministering, that was a long, you remember the little church, oh, this is 10 years ago. And I says, you mark it down. There'll come a time when people will go back to these churches where they do nothing, and they'll go fishing. They'll say, oh, we've been misled. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And they won't witness for Christ. It's like they never knew anything. Why? Because everything, we're walking in the shadows. People were shadows that flitted by it. That means nothing to them. Dumb, driven cattle. Cows. Ooh. But they never discovered Jesus Christ. They have never thought of time as a doorstep to eternity. Time marches on, doesn't it? Time marches on towards eternity. See, everything is just a matter of time, isn't it? Isn't it? Matter of time, I won't be here. It's a matter of time. Might be 30 seconds, might be 30 years. I don't know. 300, who knows? I don't know. But everything is a matter of time. Everything that goes around comes around. Everything that goes around comes around. Everything that goes around comes around. I'm not a broken record. That's just the way it is. And so while people are busy going around, they're going to come around and go around and come around. And everything that goes around comes around. That's something to think about, isn't it? Ooh. Time marches on. It's a door to eternity. We're walking towards eternity in this time machine. And so they seek after this, and they seek after that, and then after that, and then after the other, and they never have the attitude of this one thing I do. If I've ever in my whole of my life, ever, have used that scripture, and had to use that scripture in this most hellish age, and I'm telling you this is the end, folks. This is the most hellish age I believe that's ever happened to anybody or any, I tell you why, because it's the end, this is the beginning of the end right now. I'm talking about this is the end age. If I ever had to use the scripture, I have to use it now, and it's the scripture that says, this one thing I do. And they're always after that which is too poor. And anything that isn't after Christ is poor. I mean, if you live sort of a... You're listening. Are you listening on the radio? Get away from them Frito-Lays and that Pepsi and stop burping and put some clothes on. But anyway, if you live a sort of a purposeless life, listen to the words of the wise man, and he says again, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Have something to do. And do it. Now you'll see people, I say, do you have something to do? Oh, yeah, I got this to do, and that to do, and this to do, and that to do, and this to do, and that to do, and this, and that, and this, and that to do, and that to do, and this to do. Well, I said, why don't you do it? You spend a lot of time talking about all that you have to do. Why don't you do it? I don't know where to start. Isn't that an excuse? Start by getting out of bed. How many hearing this? Praise God. Hear the whole thing. Look straight before thee. Why do you look straight? If you look straight before thee, you'll know the end. Isn't it good to know the end? Did you know that we know the end in the Bible? It's called the Book of Revelations. We know the end. Don't walk a crooked walk, though it takes a crooked man. To walk a crooked walk, oh yes, it takes a crooked man. To walk a crooked walk, oh yes, it takes, huh? Speed on. Walk the way. That's the way. And the best way is the way God has made for man. Now, he's made a way. There's a way that seems right on a man. That end, therein is death. There is a way that God has made for you to go. Walk in it. Walk in it. It's not a great big congregation of people on vacation, let me tell you that. It's not a great big congregation of people on a boat taking 3 or 4 weeks on a love boat to go on over and check out the tomb. It's empty. My God, come on back and put your money in the coffers to feed the poor. Because he that made us knows what he's made us for. And he knows the best way we can arrive at that very end. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so all of us got to pursue that way, don't we? Yeah. Don't worry about the end. It doth not yet appear, the Bible says, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the only way you can see Christ as he is to become like he is, because that light is so great and so powerful and so glorious that it's going to have to glorify you, and you'll have to be part of his glory so you can just stand the glory, don't you see? So no matter what happens, you're listening on the radio, depressed, lonesome, blue, mixed up, divided in your heart. Oh, God, get right! Get right with your own self and your consciences. No matter what happens, it will all work together for good for them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Don't worry about the end. You hear a song like that? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, it'll only bring you sorrow. Tomorrow, wait and see. Huh? You listening on the radio, let Jesus Christ be your way. Hey, woe be it if I preach not the gospel. You that are not saved, you say, how can I know Him? How do I go about knowing Him? I'd like to, I hear you say. I desire to. Well, I'll tell you something. Who do you think gave you that desire? All grace, our God of all grace, gave you the desire. Go on then. Just receive Him. How do I receive Him? By grace. But I don't know after I get saved if I can continue. Oh, do you think you're going to continue on your own might and power? Bible says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. His grace, let me tell you, is sufficient to carry you through. Says the Bible, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, that's too simple for some folks. Jesus said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now all that come, it says, I'll give the power to continue on. Okay, now after you have Him, seek to know more about Him. Know Him better. Know Him practically. Oh, that is the most hated word, practicality. You tell people, be practical. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, that's not spiritual enough, being practical. I don't want to pick up these dishes and take them over here and wash them. Well, somebody has to be practical. Yeah, but I wasn't called to do that. Would you wipe off the table? No, I wasn't called to do that either. Would you mind sweeping the floor? No, I don't want to do that. I wasn't called to do that. I was called to prophesy and to preach and to reach out and talk to people and squeeze their head like a pimple and talk to them. No, 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 don't make me be practical. Oh, no, I don't want to be practical. I want out of this world. I want out. You're in it. You're in it. You start washing them dirty dishes at home, woman, well, I'll tell you, they'll pile up over your head. You won't even hear your prayers. You'll be buried in China. Now when you're sitting around like that, books and books and books and tapes and records all over the table, writing and earphones on and praising God, and the house could fall down. And you come in and they're all kind of weirded out. Praise the Lord. And they kick the dishes to the side. Hallelujah. Pardon the dishes, but me and Jesus have been having a good time for 2 years now. The husband's sitting over there. He's got a head shaped like one of them TV dinner trays. All sectioned off with a pea dish and the... I'll tell you something, woman, he's not saying praise God, I'll tell you right now. Come on. He's saying, get practical. You hear a song like that? Let's get practical. Let's get practical. This should be. Radios went off all over the place. Husbands are laying down, they're laughing. Oh, God. Oh, something's coming up out of the dish heap there, son. Better run for the hills. my God. Hey, that's the truth, isn't it? Woo! But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's all you got to do.
There you have it. That was part one, episode 207, These Eyes. Be sure to listen to part two on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be low, you may be